Greetings and salutations out there in Podland. This is Kevin, a.k.a. Darth Devious. With me is, as always, Charles.
Fallen through the portals once again.
And this is Who Gives a Hoot, Episode 6. This week, we're not really talking about any specific episodes, since there was some decent news in the Doctor Who world this week that we can focus on. We were going to discuss the last two episodes of Season 1, but with, you know, everything coming out this week, it's just better to focus on that. And what it was that came out was we got the Children in Need special for the year, which turned out to be a prequel to the Christmas special, followed like an hour or so later by the actual trailer for the Christmas episode, which is pretty cool. Episode is called The Snowmen, and I have a few things to say about how the snowmen look, but, you know, we'll get to that. And then finally, we're going to also discuss the fact that David Tennant lent his voice to a recent episode of the Clone Wars cartoon. So, why don't we jump into it first with the Children in Need special called The Great Detective.
Mm-hmm.
The episode opens up with some narration talking about Madame Vastra, who, as we all remember from A Good Man Goes to War, is the Silurian that actually lives in 19th century London and was responsible for the disappearance of Jack the Ripper because she consumed him. And her, well, companion, I guess we could say safely, Jenny. And apparently Strax, the Sontaran.
Potato Head.
I thought he was dead, but unless that's somebody else. I know they're clones, a clone race and all that, but I just thought he was dead. And the shadowy fourth figure that would sometimes join them, who we all know who that is. And mm-hmm. Basically the episode was the three of them talking to somebody in the shadows, trying to convince this person that there's, you know, things going on that he should be concerned about. And it turns out it's the Doctor, and he's dressed almost like Ebenezer Scrooge in the episode. And he pretty much tells them, I don't know why you're bothering to do this. I'm retired. Don't you get it? You're wasting your time. All this other stuff. It was rather humorous, some of the things they were coming up with, especially Strax and him wanting to attack the moon and attack the Moonites on the moon, even though there's nobody up there. And just, you know, the Doctor just walks away from them. A carriage goes by and he vanishes. And ends with Strax looking up at the moon going, damn moon. It was silly. It was fun. I know the Children Need Specials always fun. That's what they're done for. You know, they're done for charity, which is great. It's fantastic that that happens. And I just thought it was very funny with how all the characters interacted with each other. But it also made sense in that the Doctor was, you know, pretty much telling them he's retired because he just went through a very, very traumatic loss of Amy and Rory. And mm-hmm. that affected him probably a lot more than the loss of most of his other companions in history. I know it looks like it forced him to quit doing all the stuff that he's doing, but just for now, because I'm pretty sure with the events of the Christmas special, he's going to be jumped right back into everything anyway. So, your thoughts on the Children in Need special?
Of course, I did, when I first saw it, I just saw it like yesterday.
it's only been out for like 2 or 3 days anyway, so.
I had to scream Potato Head because I was like, oh, my Potato Head's back, yay! but I love how they do stuff like this now, especially with doing web episodes like this. It's really nice to kind of get a little sneak peek of how things are going to go in a special like that. As far as the, I like how it was kind of really mysterious and didn't really give away too much of what's going to happen other than just a few basic hints. So, considering it was only like 4 minutes, it's kind of like, not too much you can really comment on. I mean, it looked great. It did a really good job filming it. I actually loved, I know they did on both of, was it the prequel or the trailer that they actually had Matt Smith and the other actors talking? But I loved their interaction together. I thought that was really funny.
That I think is the trailer. We'll get to the trailer. Yeah. Because in this one, his only interaction was with the Silurian, the Santaran, and the human. He was just with them. And it was pretty much just him standing there listening to all this crap they're spewing to try and get him excited and in doing what he used to do, and him just like, why do you bother? And just walking away. So it was nice to see one of these episodes like that, and notice a few pieces that will be significant to at least the beginning of the Christmas special, which we're still a month and a half, or a little under a month and a half away from that coming out, so it's not too long of a wait. Actually, by the time this episode goes up, it'll be closer to a month even. So that's going to be fun. Now, the trailer for the episode, which is titled The Snowmen, showed, like, the new companion, Clara, Oswin, whatever her name is going to be, and she was talking to some kids about the doctor, and you saw the TARDIS and him jump out of the TARDIS and stuff like that, and something about the snow eating people or something, you know. And then they showed the snowmen, and the first thing that popped in my mind, did you ever see that horror movie that came out like a number of years ago, Jack Frost?
No.
Do yourself.
I saw pictures of it.
Yeah, the snowmen in this actually remind me of him. That, I know it's kind of hard to do evil snowmen and make them look scary and menacing. I don't think it's gonna work out too well for that, but as long as they're not on screen constantly, I think we'll be okay.
Well, I kind of get the impression they looked almost like a little bit of an evil version. I thought they looked like Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas a little bit.
Yeah, they did have that kind of look to them too, but So apparently a lot of questions are still surrounding his new companion, because as many people know who've seen Asylum of the Daleks, she was actually in the episode, though she was inside of a Dalek. Her mind was inside the Dalek, even though she didn't realize she was a Dalek. So it's kind of going to be interesting how this is going to work out. I mean, there are theories floating around as to what her purpose is, why she's, knows about the doctor and things like that. One theory is that she could possibly be a time traveler herself, trying to find him. She is highly intelligent.
Yeah.
Another theory is that she's actually a future incarnation of the doctor himself. There are theories going wild, but it's going to be another month or so till even a hint of our questions get answered. So I think we can just wait and see what's going to happen. But it's going to be interesting to see, because the doctor himself would not recognize her.
Mm-hmm.
He may recognize her voice, but her face, he never saw.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to work out. It's going to be interesting. Sometimes Stephen Moffat plays these weird games, and it always turns out to be like the simplest explanation. is the one that's right, but nobody ever picks up on the simplest explanation. So, yeah, on the Ain't It Cool News doc backboards, we came up with some wild theories during the whole Series 6 stuff with Silence and all that stuff. We came up with stuff that was just off the wall, and none of us got it right. Not one of us. Because and that's where I learned, because we came up with all this, like, complicated stuff, and then the explanations ended up being, you know, simple, and I just said to everyone, we always go about this the wrong way. The real answer is always, you know, it's more, the show is a children's show, basically. Despite having this huge fan base for the last 50 years, it's basically still, at its core, a children's show. So, yeah, it makes you think, but at the same time, it also has to work for them. So, you have to look at it in simpler terms sometimes to figure it out. And I said, all our theories, they just go right out the window when you do it that way, because we were coming up with off-the-wall stuff, like... And people are still convinced that some of the stuff that we came up with may come to pass in the future. But, there's somebody who gives us little hints and tidbits who posts in there. I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Yeah.
Anyway. I didn't even post last week's episode, ain't it cool news? I'm slacking. Oh, it's been a long week. Trust me.
We were at a convention and everything. Slacking on stuff.
Oh yeah, that's another thing we can discuss. You know, we were at a convention, the same convention, even though we didn't get to see each other much because the place was crazy. It was packed. So. Which was great for our friends because, you know, this is the first time they put on a convention and it was a huge, huge success.
Yes, actually, getting on that topic a little bit, this is probably my fourth or fifth FanRun convention I've been to in the last culminated year and a half. But I have to say, it was probably the most crowded for being a first year, and it was at least the most well-run show. I've actually been to a show in Jacksonville, North Carolina that was... It was fine, but it was basically run as essentially a flea market. So there wasn't no guests or nothing like that. There was very few people there at all. There was only 15 vendors. SavCon was a really good convention, but they had a few issues here and there. But other than that, I mean, it was pretty good. The only thing I think held them back a bit was the fact that they actually were in a hotel convention center, but it's very small, so they couldn't have a whole lot of people in there.
Yeah, that's like the New Jersey Collectors Convention that is held twice a year up here. It's inside of a hotel, inside their convention center floor, and I honestly believe, and I know he's not going to listen to this, but Fran, if you ever listen to this, dude, it's not going to cost that much more to go to a bigger venue. I'm telling you right now, I know what Tony and Rose paid for theirs, pretty much. I know the estimates. They only charged $4 more than what you charged. I know you told me you don't want to move to a bigger friggin' convention center because you have to charge more. You don't have to charge that much more because you'll make more money selling more tables. They had double the tables that you normally sell. This is going out to my buddy Fran. Oh. Alright, sorry about that brief little hiccup there, folks. Apparently Skype dropped our call for a minute there, so...
No, that was my fault. I have my portal gun here, and I accidentally shot it through the floor. Sorry.
damn you and your portal gun. So yeah, so I was sending a message out to Fran O'Boyle, who runs the New Jersey Collectors Convention, even though I know he's never going to listen to this, but I mean, yeah. I talked to a lot of the vendors that actually worked do the show at New Jersey Collectors Convention that were at Rosentoni's show, and a lot of them said the same thing. Yeah, he needs to move to a bigger venue, because what happens is the way the floor plan works, there's no room for anybody to walk. I mean, you could walk like six people wide in the aisles at RetroCon.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely walk two people wide in the aisles at New Jersey Collectors Convention.
Yeah. Now, I did hear a couple of people, the only complaints I heard from RetroCon, mainly, a few vendors were saying they wish there was a place the cosplayers could have been, you know, so they wouldn't stand in front of the tables. I kind of agree and disagree with that. I've been to a lot of the bigger conventions, and you're going to run into that problem at any convention.
Oh, yeah.
The best way to do it is the way their convention was set up. You had that nice wide space between all the vendor tables in the aisles. That was good because you did have that space where cosplayers could still walk around. You know, a lot of the cosplayers had larger costumes. They tended to stay over in the open areas.
Yeah.
And in the most part, you know, the people who are cosplaying, they know not to really loiter around in front of tables very long unless they're actually shopping or something. So.
Yeah, so it wasn't... They can just get over that, because I've mm-hmm. been to conventions where it's so congested with cosplayers you can't really get to other tables. Here, it wasn't that bad because there wasn't 100,000 cosplayers walking around. You know, there was what, about 20, 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. All the vendors are great, but I'll tell the vendors, as some probably do, if you got a complaint about how crowded it is, go to Dragon Con.
Okay.
We're back?
Yeah, we're back. Okay.
But like I said, if you've never been to Dragon Con, try to imagine a convention. One, because I think about it, the whole entire convention is held in three hotel convention centers, and they are not small. The vendor room is probably almost three times the size of the entire convention center that RetroCon is helping. And I don't mean that one room, I mean the entire convention center. And you will be elbow to elbow sometimes. You won't be able to move around at all.
That's Wizard World in Philadelphia here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place, the convention center in Philadelphia is gigantic. It actually goes across like three blocks almost. There's like mm-hmm. bridges that go across, so... Yeah, it's huge. And
that's about how Dragon Con is, yeah. Because like I say, it's three hotels, they're connected by sky bridges.
Yeah.
But now, the good thing is, the way it's divided up, at least the old cosplayers tend to hang out in one hotel, yeah. Which means that was crowded.
Yeah. So, but that's, you know, for their very first show, RetroCon was a huge hit and a huge success. I've heard some complaints, most of them are mild. Yeah, there was one or two vendors who were mad about the cosplayers in their way. Get over it. They weren't there all day. They weren't constantly in front of your table because they were walking around.
Well, the big thing with the cosplayers, like, I was in costume with a friend of mine, and she got a lot of people asking pictures of her. I got a few pictures taken. And a lot of times you get these photographers who want to come up and want your picture while we're sitting there at a table looking at stuff or maybe chit-chatting with someone. But we both knew better when we got a photo taken, step away from the table while we're taking the photo.
Yeah.
And make sure there's no one in the way.
Sometimes it's just proper etiquette that needs to be taught to people. But you know what? The convention ran for so long that day. You can't sit there and say, oh, they were constantly in front of my table, because they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I was actually working the door at one point in time, checking people's badges and wristbands and stuff like that. I only caught like about two people trying to sneak in that didn't belong.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then about like 3:30, Tony opened it up to free admission anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a good show. But we've gotten off topic. Sorry about that. We tend to do that every once in a while. But we figured we'd give you our experiences from this past weekend where we were actually at the same convention. That was actually kind of fun. Yeah. So
we got
back to the trailer.
Yes.
The main bad guy, which I actually thought was kind of cool, is being played by Richard E. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice seeing him on Doctor Who. He's a fairly decently known actor. I remember one of the first things I ever saw him in was Warlock back in the 80s. But he's been in a lot of stuff here and there, so it's looking like he'll be a decent villain, and, you know, he seems sufficiently evil, so that should be kind of cool. Yeah, I just hope that the whole snowman thing is... The less seen on screen, I think, will be more effective. The whole Jaws approach. The less seen, the more effective it is. Because, yeah, their design, I'm hoping that's still a fairly early design, and maybe they're going to add a little bit of CG elements to it. I doubt it, but it does look a little comical. I know it's a Christmas episode and supposed to be some comical elements to it and things like that, but they look weak to me, the way they're designed. It's just me. Actually, it's not just me. I've had other people say the same thing that I'm saying, so yeah, there's that. But it still should be a good episode anyway. I'm looking forward to it. It airs on in England on December 25th, Christmas Day. And then it'll air that night on BBC America here in the United States. So everyone look for that on Christmas. And check it out online if you want to. They're both on YouTube on BBC's actual channel. You can find the trailer for The Snowmen, and you can watch the prequel, The Great Detective, which is the Children in Need special, which is really nice. And what's nice is both things are actually introduced by Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman, the new companion. So that's nice, and you can see how they're getting along nicely. So this should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Because if the actors don't get along, your scripts are going to become rubbish real quick. Yeah, so I think that's it for those two things. I mean, it was just cool to see. I wasn't expecting them to be released this soon. I usually expect them after Thanksgiving, not before, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, so the next thing we're going to discuss is the recent episode of The Clone Wars, where David Tennant did the voice of this... I don't know what the character's name is, but he was a robot... But he was also, like, an expert on lightsaber design, and he was teaching the younglings how to build their own lightsabers.
Yes, he's actually a droid named Professor Hu Yang.
Okay, thank you. Like I said, I haven't really watched The Clone Wars. If you didn't link me the episode the other day, I wouldn't even have known. And you didn't even say who was doing the voice. It took me a few minutes of watching the episode to realize and go, hey, that's David Tennant.
I remember a few weeks ago they announced his thing, but they didn't really push it a lot. You know, it's like, oh, David Tennant's guest star on The Clone Wars. And I actually don't watch it live Saturday mornings, but I managed to catch it on StarWars.com, and it's like, oh my God, they got this episode up. Great, we got something to talk about finally. And of course, I mentioned to you about how this is the Doctor versus Winnie the Pooh. Because for people who don't know, which hopefully some people know, one of his main enemies in this episode is a pirate named Hondo Ondaka. Hondo is actually voiced by Jim Cummings, who is most famous for voicing Winnie the Pooh.
There you go.
So you get a pretty interesting little treat in this episode. Now, let me ask, since I'm the more Star Wars guy, let me ask you, what did you think of it?
Oh, it's I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I just don't have time to always watch the Clone Wars. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fun episode, you know. Looks like this is like a multi-parter episode going together, because I missed the first part where the younglings got their crystals.
I believe this is going to be four or five parts, because I know I just watched the third part today, and they're getting ready to lead into part four with today's aired episode that came out this morning on Saturday.
Okay. Because yeah, I mean, the Clone Wars show itself, I do enjoy watching. It's just I don't get a chance to. I'm so far behind on it. I do like how Anakin's Padawan is actually, they're showing her grow. Because I haven't really seen any episodes except for like season one and part of season two.
Yeah.
So now this is season five, you said, and it was, she looks older. She acts more mm-hmm. mature, and I like how they're doing that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, now, of course, just getting into the Clone Wars a bit, people are really curious as to what's going on with it, because Clone Wars is supposed to last 100 episodes. If I'm right, the episode that aired Saturday is episode 96, and it's not even 10 episodes into season 5. And they've already talked about season 6.
Well, I think originally it was planned for 100 episodes, but
mm-hmm.
when it grew so popular, they just decided they're just going to keep going. I think that's what it ended up being, that they're just going to keep going with it. Because basically, the Clone Wars itself in Star Wars lasted 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could look at it as, like, if you look at MASH, the Korean War lasted 3 years or 4 years or whatever it was, and MASH lasted 11.
Yeah.
So, but if you look at it though, you've got only 20 something episodes in a season. So there's 365 days in a year. So yeah, you can stretch a show's continuity out that long and still be within that 3 year time frame.
Yeah. But now, of course, getting back to David Tennant's character. One thing I really enjoyed about it is when he first started talking, you could kind of hear a little bit of him in the voice, because it was, obviously he's playing a droid, which is funny in itself, because basically he's become Cyberman. But they had to add a little bit of robotic reverb to it.
Yeah.
But once he started really getting into the conversation,
you
heard his voice, and two, he really started sounding like the Doctor.
Yes, he did. And that's when he was doing the rambling and like talking about different planets and just like, oh, it could be like this. Oh, no, maybe like this. And I'm just like, oh, they're just having him do the Doctor as a robot.
mm-hmm.
So that was kind of funny. I did enjoy that. But, yeah, like I said, I am so far out of what's actually going on Clone Wars that it just... It was an enjoyable episode. I could infer what had happened before just from what was in it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, but, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
It was nice seeing David Tennant do something like that, though, because he... Since he left Doctor Who, a lot of his stuff doesn't get as much attention as it once did.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but, you know, he was right to leave when he did. I mean, like he said, if he had kept doing it, he'd still be doing it now, and he just wouldn't stop until they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's like, I don't think Matt Smith's going to go much past either this season or next season, to be honest with you, because he's starting to get burned out by it as well. Yeah. I mean, he's on his third year of this, and he's starting to feel it. And you can see he's actually aged some. And he says because of the hours they work, that's what happens. You get aged with it. I know the BBC would probably like to keep him longer. He says as of right now, he doesn't have any plans of leaving, but saying how he's already getting burned out, I can't see him doing it past maybe season 8, really.
Yeah.
That'd be 4 years. Originally, I know when he first got the role, he would joke around about how he wanted to beat Tom Baker's 7-year run. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's a much different animal now than it was when Tom Baker made the show all those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking, it's been almost 40 years since Baker took over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long time ago.
Oh, and while we're on the subject of Doctor Who and what these actors like to do outside, I was actually digging this up while we were talking because I remembered this from the other day. I don't know how many of you can follow Karen Gillan, who plays Amy Pond on Twitter, but she's actually been filming a movie here in the U.S.
Yeah, I knew that.
She's filming a movie called Oculus. This new horror film is about to come out. Now, I found out about it because I actually also follow an actress from Battlestar Galactica, Katie Sackhoff. All we know about the film right now is Katie Sackhoff plays Karen Gillan's mother. But apparently it's like a time difference film. But it's supposed to be like the mother is in like the past, but the daughter's in the future and stuff like that. There's not a whole lot of details out yet, but pretty interesting, especially because if you go on Twitter and follow them, they've been tweeting pictures of them hanging out while they were filming. And this is one particularly funny one. I guess they're out in California somewhere. They were all hanging out together on a lake on a boat. And the funniest picture was posted up of Katie and Karen sitting on the boat. Katie's sitting there. She's got shorts on and a bikini top. And Karen's got a complete head-to-toe furry pajamas on with a hood on. And this is so funny to see that because it's hot weather. And it's like, why in the world is she wearing that?
I don't know. So, well, hopefully that movie will be good for her. We'll see what happens with that.
Yep.
That would be nice. Speaking of Tom Baker, the other day on Ain't It Cool News, somebody actually pointed out that they dislike how Matt Smith plays the Doctor. He plays him too goofy, too childish, too this, too that. Pretty much there was somebody quoted one of the things from Tom Baker's Doctor where he said something about, what's the point of being a grown-up if you can't have fun once in a while or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote, but yeah. Look back at Tom Baker. He was also childish like that in the way he played the Doctor. But also so was Patrick Troughton's Doctor was a little childish like that. So it's already established that the character of the Doctor has those traits. Some don't have it as much as others. You know, get over it. If you don't like Matt Smith, move on. Come back when they get a new Doctor. The show won't miss you. Basically. Because, you know, he does... There are so many people that are saying that Matt Smith's portrayal of the Doctor is starting to rival Tom Baker's as being one of the most popular. I still like John Pertwee the best. I don't know. There's just something about the John... James Bond type situations they always put him in that I liked. I don't know. Yeah, so there's that. I honestly don't really have much more to say. Like I said, we skipped talking about the final two episodes of season one with Christopher Eccleston because of the trailer coming out and the other stuff that the trailer and the children need special and all that other stuff. So next week, if we record, because, as I was telling Charles before we started recording, we may have to put this podcast on a brief hiatus for a few weeks. I just got a new job. We're gonna have to try and figure out what my schedule's gonna be, what his schedule's gonna be, so we can find a new day that we can both be online to record. Mm-hmm. Right now we record these on Sunday nights. We're actually recording this really late on Sunday night right now because, I had such a busy day today that I left the house at noon to start everything I had to do. Because I had to wait for my wife to get home from church. So noon, started off my day. I didn't get... Charles can tell you. He got online at around 9 o'clock and messaged me, and that's when I had just turned my computer back on. It was at 9 o'clock at night. So, yeah, it has been a long, busy day. Got a lot accomplished that I had to accomplish. I'm going to have a long, busy day tomorrow. Tuesday, I start my new job. And then, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving. I will still be putting the podcast up. So, for anyone who's listening, happy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's that. I still have a few things before I can even go to bed. And then I got to get up around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning and jump into everything for that, for what I gotta do tomorrow. So yeah, if people don't hear from me much tomorrow, it's because I'm going to be out and about almost the entire day. I probably won't get home till about 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then I'm gonna be busy probably most of the night, and then I have to get up and be at work by 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday for my first day of training, so a lot of fun. I know, nobody wants to hear about my boring personal life anyway. So if we do have to put the show on hiatus for a few weeks until we can find a new day where we can mesh our schedules again, that may happen. If not, then we will be recording again next Sunday if possible. Right now, I think I'm off next Sunday. I couldn't promise you that, but I think I'm off next Sunday. If I am, we'll jump right back in with the normal format of the show, discussing the episodes, because as we're getting ready to go from the threshold of season 1 to season 2, and, you know, we can have a discussion on regeneration, since we're getting to the regeneration episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think we're gonna call this because I'm really starting to fall asleep and I still got some stuff to do. And
this is a rare occasion when usually I'm the one who has to call the night early because I have to go to work like at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I don't have to do that anymore. It's like a stay up all late at night.
Ha-ha.
Catch up on Doctor Who and, you know, everything else, which actually I'm catching up with Voyager right now, so.
Well, when my new job starts, once I get through training, I'm actually going to be working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. And I know, everyone's like, oh, that's horrible. Well, no, this actually works for me, because it's going to allow me to have a full-time job, a decent amount of money coming in that I need. The place I'm working is right on the corner of my own street, so I can walk to work in about 3 minutes. And it also ensures that when my kids get home from school, I am awake and there for them. I can sleep while they're at school. See? Mm-hmm. So, I come home, go to sleep, I get up, they're home from school. And I can spend the evening with them, and then I don't have to go to work till they're all in bed.
Oh, and real quick, of course, we love to get off topic on the show every now and then. Of course, I actually was up in at the RetroCon. That was the first time I've actually been up toward... I've been further north than that before, but it's been like Toronto, so I've always been the western side of Pennsylvania, up near Buffalo and stuff. I've never been further north as far as the northeast than D.C., so it was like really cool to actually go up there. Kevin mentioned to me something about this place called Wawa. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. All you Northerners are like, yeah, we know the Wawa. It's awesome. I thought they were talking about Walmart. Because that's what a lot of Southern people call Walmart. It's either Wally World or the Wawa. And I'm like, why is he so excited about working at a Walmart? So when I went up north, I started seeing exit signs where it's like Wawa. And I'm like, I've got to go see what this is. I pulled into one, and my first thought was like, oh, it's a quick stop like for the Kevin Smith movies. But here's the funny thing. It's basically a convenience store without a gas station, like a mini food.
No, actually, some of them have gas stations. In fact, yeah, I always get my gas at the one Wawa that's about 2 miles from my house because they have a gas station.
Right. Now, see, that I have noticed that, too. But for the most part, the ones I saw had no gas station. They were just like mini food marts. Yeah. I was in one talking to the guy, and he's like, do you have them down south? I'm like, we used to many, many years ago, but they went away when big gas companies started moving in and having the combined gas station and convenience store. They're coming back here down south, at least where I'm at, but they're coming back as tobacco shops, basically, with like a small grocery section.
Well, Wawa actually started up here, where I'm at, mm-hmm. in this area, because the town of Wawa, Pennsylvania, is only like a couple miles up the road from me.
Yeah.
And that's actually where the corporate headquarters is. So, I mean, if I cut through the back roads, I can be over to it in like 10 minutes. So, Wawa itself, now, when I grew up in South River, New Jersey, we had one there. So it's always been a part of my life. But if you go up into New York State where I used to live, there's none up there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're slowly starting to spread out from this area. I mean, I think they just opened one in Virginia or something like that, they said. They're all over Pennsylvania. There's none in Ohio. It's pretty much this whole mid to the lower part of the Northeast area, the Mid-Atlantic Northeast region, is where you find them.
And
Well, in this particular area where I'm at, there's pretty much a Wawa every mile or two.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're pretty much, you know, like Cumberland Farms used to be a big convenience store chain. That's kind of what Wawa's becoming now. But from what I hear, they actually treat their employees very well.
Mm-hmm.
Pay's decent. I'm not going to go into what it is, but it's decent for what the job is. It's a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Promotion prospects are fairly quick. So, yeah. As long as you know what you're doing, you could be pretty decent at it. I actually have a friend that works down at the one down the street where I'm going to be working. He actually helped me get in there. He's more my wife's friend than he is mine, but still, he knows us fairly well because he's been working there since we've lived in this house. So, you know, the general manager does like me already, so that's a plus.
Yeah, I will say one other thing. While I was up there, yes, I'm from the South. I don't know if you can tell that from my accent or not. I do love going up to the north. I'll be back to be back up in sometime around January, February to visit. I have to say, I also had a pretty interesting run-in with a New Yorker at a gas station, too. That was the most interesting two-minute conversation I have ever had with anybody. But that guy was hilarious. I wish I found out who he was. He was just funny. I have much respect for New Yorkers, too, because my boss is from Long Island, and she's like 4'8", 80 pounds, and gosh, I swear we could beat each other up while we're working.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're rambling now, and that, to me, is a sign that it's time to end this. So, like I said, when I get tired, I ramble. Sorry, everyone. And I'm having a hard time keeping my eyes open as it is. It's almost, yeah, it's after 11 here, and I've got to get up at, like, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, so.
Ooh.
We are going to end this. Next week, join us as we finish off our discussion on Season 1, unless something spectacular happens this week, Doctor Who related, but we will finish off our discussion of Season 1 and talk about regeneration as a whole. So look forward to that. We got 2 episodes left to discuss from Season 1. I can't recall the titles off the top of my head at the moment because I'm too tired, but if you know Season 1, you know which ones I'm talking about. They both take place in the same spot. It's a two-parter, basically.
Yep.
So, we'll have Daleks, we'll have Captain Jack, we'll have Rose with glowing yellow eyes, and we'll finally get to David Tennant. All this next week on Who Gives a Hoot. Join us
same then. Same Who time, same Who channel.
Later, everybody.
Have a good one.